There's a whole lot of nonsense happening this week, and we're here to scoop some of it up and dump it all over you. So let's get started with some of the more toxic sludge. And unfortunately, that means talking about Kanye West.
Oh!
Kanye West, a once incredible musical talent whose brain has obviously gotten smoother with age, causing him to become a racist old crank with outlandish ideas about how the world should work and how prominent his role in that reconstruction should be. Now, if you've been following Kanye's villain arc over the past few years, you're probably already aware that he has aligned himself with actual Nazis, ruined his successful collaboration with Adidas, and attempted to launch and operate an actual school that turned out to be more like a prison, among many other things. Now, this week, new information about the Donda Academy was revealed, which further drove home the idea that, yeah, while trying to build a utopian school that inspires and cultivates creative geniuses, Kanye actually just built them a prison.
So yeah, before we get into the new accusations on top of the many existing ones, here's what we already know about the Donda Academy thanks to recent lawsuits by former employees of the school. It was in violation of health and safety regulations. There was no janitors, and teachers were tasked with maintaining their classrooms and school grounds at their own expense. Kids couldn't bring their own lunch and were instead fed sushi every day. What are you complaining about?
it's extravagant, but every single day?
Sushi every day.
Yeah.
There were no classes allowed on the second floor because Kanye is allegedly afraid of stairs. Chairs were allegedly banned. Outside playtime was banned. And the only colors that people could wear were black and gray. Also, the teachers, when they cleaned up their classrooms due to the lack of janitors, they were not allowed to use any of the cleaning products you or I would use, you'd buy at the supermarket. They had to use water mixed with, like, lemon juice, I think.
Yeah. It's strange.
Anyway, with more time having passed and more former employees filing lawsuits against the rapper, we are learning more details about the now infamous Donda Academy, including the fact that the rumors equating the school to a jail were far more accurate than anyone could have guessed.
Now, according to a recent article in Rolling Stone where they obtained the new lawsuit, Kanye wanted to install an actual jail at the school, gave special treatment to white employees, and threatened staff with physical violence, among other things.
Yeah, those other things, less funny. Just the idea of a jail in a school. Like,
The Simpsons did it,
when I was in elementary school, like, every year there'd be, like, a carnival or something where if you had enough tickets, you could send another student to jail.
Okay. We just dunked the
teachers.
For,
like, 30 minutes.
We dunked the teachers.
Yeah, we had that.
Yeah.
But yeah, an actual jail in a school, that's wild.
In reference to the...
Sir, you cannot do that.
The Simpsons reference here is that Principal Skinner or Superintendent Chalmers, I can't remember, they leased out the extra room in the classrooms to the overcrowded prison system in Springfield. And I remember one of the criminals, this snake or something, was like grabbed Martin's shirt and ripped it off while the class was happening. So, you know, similar vibes here.
Yeah.
And in no way are we trying to play down the actual serious accusations about what happened at this school, but one of the freak-out moments that Kanye had resulted in a ridiculously funny scene that can't be overlooked. And we'll get to that, but first, the parts that are outrageous in the harshest sense of the word, not the funny type. Here's from their reporting. Trevor Phillips filed suit against the rapper, who now goes by Ye, on Tuesday in Los Angeles, joining a number of former employees who are suing the 46-year-old.
Man, when you make the character from GTA 5, when you're the weird one, that's you've crossed the line. Trevor Phillips, holy shit.
The 42-page complaint gives a behind-the-scenes look at what Phillips says it's like to work for the eccentric artist, including spontaneous firings, a late-night summons to Nobu, watching The Batman on mute, and awkwardly navigating Ye pretending to masturbate. A rep for West did not immediately reply to a request for comment.
That last part, no allegedly needed. This man has at this point, 20-year history of just being obsessed with jerking off.
Yeah. Well.
So the article goes into the fact that Phillips, who is black, immediately noticed that he and other black staffers were treated differently from their white counterparts, and that all of the anti-Semitic stuff that Kanye was spouting publicly was also happening behind the scenes, sometimes in front of students, with an apparent plan for Kanye to start targeting the LGBTQ community next because, quote, gay people are controlled by Bill Gates so that they don't have children for population control. Insane stuff from a guy who was, again, previously one of the most influential people in the music industry. In addition to this, we have the comments made regarding the installation of those jail cells in the school, alongside some dehumanizing behavior.
Yeah.
Ye allegedly once told two children that he wanted them to shave their heads and that he intended to put a jail at the school and that they could be locked in cages. Okay.
He heard kids in cages and said, yeah, that sounds
That's
like
a great,
great
idea.
Yep.
Thank you, President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do that at my school. And like, listen, I feel really bad for these kids, but any parent that is still sending their kids to Donda Academy in the current year, like, they're not allowed to be upset about
look,
any of this.
Look,
this is all public record. The place is a freak show and the guy who owns it is a fucking lunatic.
I'm not giving them any benefit of the doubt, but I'm saying that a lot of the stuff could have happened when it was too late, or they thought they were getting into a different situation because Kanye hadn't gone full crazy yet. But whatever, their reporting continues. When Phillips tried to push back against Ye's bigotry, the artist responded mercilessly with incessant harassment, humiliation, and attempts to both mentally control and destroy Phillips, the lawsuit filed by Sherrigan and Associates claims. Kanye's ill will towards the plaintiff ultimately culminated in a vulgar lashing in front of schoolchildren and their parents. Kanye even threatened Phillips with physical violence. And regarding his role at Kanye's company, one of Phillips' first tasks was to convert one of Ye's Calabasas properties into a new campus for Donda Academy after a landlord broke their lease with Ye over his anti-Semitic comments. But by January 2023, Phillips says Ye scrapped those plans and instead wanted a dilapidated church to be the new facility. Given a deadline of a matter of weeks, Ye allegedly told Phillips he expected his team to, quote, complete the renovations without any permits, and later demoted Phillips when he expressed concern with the safety and legality of completing the renovations.
Yeah, that's...
Why would you need to get all of these permits when the place has been blessed? It's a church of God. You think a church of God is just going to crumble with a couple school children running around inside of it? I mean, we're not even going to use the staircase. I'm terrified of stairs.
Jesus. So the stories continued. One including Kanye spending $2 million worth of school funds on a trip to Paris.
Mm.
Rules against the existence of fat employees. Jesus fucking Christ, dude. And continued anti-Semitism during what were supposed to be professional school meetings. And here's where it gets somehow even weirder. Not that everything we previously mentioned isn't extremely weird and unsettling, but now we're getting into crazy, just absurdist territory, because at one point, Kanye invited this guy to a hotel in Malibu to discuss the school. He did the whole Hitler rant again. And then, quote, Ye had hotel staff come to the room and put on 2022's The Batman, with the two men watching the movie on mute, in silence. While lying flat on the bed, Phillips claimed that Ye began to make slow up and down motions with his hand just above his genitals as though he was masturbating and talking about his sex life, according to the lawsuit.
Now, okay, this is all horrific stuff, but the next part, it is insane, but it's also so ridiculous of a mental image that you can only temporarily laugh at it before immediately feeling bad for the person on the receiving end. But even for them, it had to be a ridiculous experience. Like, even with all things considered here, if I were the employee and then this happened, I'd go, okay, well, this is absurd. Yes. So basically, per the lawsuit, Phillips and Kanye got into a heated argument about a garden that Phillips had been tending to, and Kanye went off on him, screaming at him, threatening him, telling him he doesn't give a shit about the employee or his family. Phillips' daughter and younger brother were students at Donda Academy, apparently. And this all led to the following exchange. Kanye then ran to the gardens and attempted to pick up and toss the garden, the lawsuit continues, but too weak and out of shape, failed to pick them up. Instead, he started pulling out the plants and individual pieces inside the boxes, ripping them apart and throwing them on the floor in a worse and more immature temper tantrum than any of even the youngest Donda schoolchildren have ever thrown. The rapper then physically threatened Phillips, according to the suit, repeatedly saying he was going to punch you in the face before his mood suddenly shifted. Quote, Imitating the celebratory dance of Mario from the famous video game Super Mario Brothers, Kanye jumped up with punching one fist in the air while he said, "I'm gonna give you one more chance, another life."
Bring.
You just earned another life. But don't let it happen again.
God, I hate this man so much.
It's me, Kanye.
Bring. Make the sound.
Bring.
Where's the sound?
You just earned yourself another, well, I'm giving you another life. But don't, if I come back, and these tulips, and those delicious oranges aren't properly growing.
I do love the idea
I'm gonna go Bowser on this bitch.
Out of shape that he can't pull plants out of the ground.
Now, he could pull plants, he just couldn't lift the whole box up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, soil is heavy.
It is.
So, I mean, but yeah, well, that's, Jesus Christ.
I just do love that, like, that he's going on a tirade, an actual temper tantrum.
Yeah.
And then snaps and goes, I am Mario, and you've just earned an extra life. Pray that you don't waste it. Bowser will return. The princess is not here in this castle.
Your Donda Academy is in another church.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, wow. So, let's move on now from one destructive voice on the right attempting to lead us into Armageddon to another. And this one actually killed a guy. So apparently Kyle Rittenhouse was too stupid to join the Marines. And his spokesperson at the trial where he was acquitted has just gone nuclear on Twitter, exposing the reality of who Kyle Rittenhouse actually is and how he's decided to monetize hatred instead of turning his life around, causing the handler, David Hancock, to regret his actions during the trial and attempt to absolve himself of that guilt by providing an inside look at the gunman who took the lives of two people during the BLM protests back in 2020. Here's his post from Twitter this week after documents made their way online, showing that Rittenhouse scored so low on an aptitude test that he was not only barred from enlisting in the armed forces, but that he is actually permanently disqualified from enlisting, which, listen, I'm not, I don't, the military, that's a, but I follow a lot of people who do have inside knowledge of this, and especially the branch that he tried to get into, the Marines, people were genuinely just flabbergasted. They're like, I served for 10 years and I honestly did not know that you could get permanently rejected from the Marines. Yes. They eat crayons.
That is one dumb motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, look, I don't want to go into, like, specific, like, we've already talked about so much about the armed forces and who they specifically target to, like, enlist and stuff, but, like, the barrier of entry,
their standards are
is
so
very
low now. Like, yes, they are just absolutely preying upon people who otherwise could not afford, like, college.
Yeah.
And healthcare.
Yeah.
So the idea of someone getting not only rejected, but permanently rejected, please do not apply again. That is crazy.
Yeah. Well,
so anyway, here you go.
Regarding his online high school diploma, we had to force him to complete the 4 years of credits in just 10 months, which he did using the, quote, Google machine. We invested significant effort to craft the image you witnessed during the trial. We outfitted him in new suits, arranged for his haircut every weekend during the trial, and dedicated over 200 hours to prepare him for direct and cross-examination. We employed the world's leading jury consultant and conducted extensive research through 3 mock trials to identify the ideal jurors and the most effective approach for his testimony. Transforming a middle school dropout who was, quote, angry at the world with a history of violence and an unhealthy obsession with guns and killing into a respectable young man with a desire for higher education and a promising future was no easy feat. It was a meticulously crafted facade, which we sincerely hoped he would grow into. Instead, he squandered a full scholarship to study any subject at any university in the country to become a divisive douchebag and antagonize Black Americans on college campuses.
Yeah, I just forgot, but yeah, the fact that he dropped out of school, he did half a semester of ninth grade before dropping out of all education, which is strange.
Sure.
Yeah, so what, I mean, anyway, yeah.
That just leads it, like, not that every high school dropout has done horrible things.
No, I mean,
It doesn't feed into the narrative that he was an upstanding young boy who was seeking higher education as a goal in life.
Yeah, or just having any direction in life whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like the,
rudderless, they would say.
This news, all these revelations, they paint a picture of him that reminds me a lot of, like, Seth Rogen's character in Observe and Report.
Mm.
He's just, like, a fucking loser who's not good at anything, but he has just this fantasy of being a hero and getting to use his gun and everybody
liking
him. I
feel like there's a lot of people like that in the country.
Yeah, I mean, those are generally the people who are attracted to
military
service, police service, things of that nature. Anyway, the post continues. Kyle failed to learn a single thing. He remains the same uneducated, arrogant, and antagonistic individual, incapable of telling the truth. Now he genuinely believes he is the show pony we created and has surrounded himself with sycophants who fuel his inflated ego because they prioritize their political agenda and Christian nationalist worldview over his well-being. Despite my efforts to guide him toward a better path in life, the allure of notoriety triumphed over the prospect of putting in the hard work of pursuing an education. Kyle is ill-equipped to offer advice to young people. I regret my role in shaping him into whatever he has become. If I had known what I know now about Kyle's history, I wouldn't have been involved.
And regarding the abysmal test scores, there was some allusion online that this meant he scored so low that he might actually have a mental disability. And while that might be true, apparently he was disqualified permanently because he made his recruiters uncomfortable in the most American way possible.
Again, observe and report.
Yeah. From a thread of tweets by Hancock, the rest of the story is Kyle was blacklisted for sending unsolicited videos of him field stripping his AR-15 to his military recruiters, which made them uncomfortable with his state of mind.
Look, kid, we all want to kill some Arabs, but like, chill out. Okay?
You're being too eager about everything.
Yeah.
It's making us, it's giving us pause. And we're the fucking Marines.
Well, and also, like, it is, it's just, you know, the military, when they want recruits whose minds are a tabula rasa, that they can mold into a soldier. Mm-hmm. They don't want people showing up who are like, I already know all this stuff. I'm so ready to go serve in a war. I mean, I don't really need to listen to you.
It's just...
So yeah, it makes sense that they'd be like, no, that is absolutely not the type of person we want.
It's just bizarre and also like, just gives you a sense of America in general that like the US military was like, this guy's a little off with his gun fetishization. And then nothing else happens. Like,
yeah.
By the way, no regulations to stop this guy from owning or shooting this gun.
Yeah, that is a good point. Yeah, if you are too off to get into the Marines, there's nothing they can do to stop you from continuing to own firearms.
Recruiters, whose entire job is just pulling in numbers, were so uncomfortable with these videos that they were like, this guy's a problem.
This kid is a danger to himself and others, but
anyways, my job's done. Burp.
Yep, there you go.
So for his part, like we said, the dude does regret working with Rittenhouse, which, okay.
Great, but you did.
Yeah, not sure too many people are going to find sympathy here, but this is what he said in response to someone inquiring about his involvement with the trial. I deeply regret my involvement in establishing a veneer of credibility for him, which he now exploits to propagate far-right propaganda and Christian nationalist rhetoric. My efforts to shape him were to get him into school, keep his head down, and gain some much-needed perspective on life. And he says elsewhere that Rittenhouse's actions after the trial showed that nothing worked, and he just continued being a dumb piece of shit who is now making a career out of being a poster boy for the extreme right in this
country.
And
not even, it doesn't seem to be a lucrative career. It kind of seems to be kind of at the end of the road, because you don't see him all that much anymore. And the last I saw of him was like a couple weeks ago.
He got chased out of that Turning Point
appearance.
Yeah,
he showed up for some college appearance and lasted like a couple minutes before he got heckled off stage.
And dragged his service dog with
him. Yeah, so he had a like emotional support dog, which like that's very lib cuck coded, Kyle, just for the record. Oh, you need your support animal? Mm-hmm. But clearly he just very abusive towards that dog.
Yeah.
Dragged it off stage. He should have that dog taken away.
Yeah.
If we can't take his guns away, can we at least take the dog away?
Maybe. Well, it's definitely not shocking to those who weren't fooled by all the theatrics in court, especially when he broke down in tears. Like, that was just so obvious.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyways, enough of that piece of shit and all the other depressing stuff, because folks, we got another epic heist on our hands.
Finally, a heist to talk about.
Another, Heat isn't just a movie. It is a way of life.
The documentary.
For us Southern Californians.
This part of the country is always up to something.
Always up to something. So yeah, we got another epic heist on our hands here in the lovely Southern California area. The sun's out.
People are going to start committing crimes.
Yeah, this one is somehow even more insane than that highway jewel heist from back in 2022, where thieves broke into a Brinks truck while it was parked at a rest stop while the driver was taking a nap or some shit, and stole, reportedly, asterisk, $100 million worth of jewels.
Yeah.
Now, the actual number is still disputed because that is the value given to the insurance company to cover the stolen jewels. And they might have been worth far less in reality.
But we don't know because
that
story just got pushed away.
Yeah, every few months I remember, I was like, has there been any update on that?
But,
nope.
Like, there's so many weird things happening with that one. Like the fact that a Brinks truck carrying that much stuff was just idling at a Flying J. Also, the insurance person who gave that summary of the value of those jewels, which appeared to be wildly inflated.
Yeah.
And the seeming lack of response by law enforcement.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a pretty big case. You'd want to really...
All hands on deck, all eyes on board.
Yeah, so suspicious.
Yeah.
But still, that story was crazy and reminiscent of, you know, the old stagecoach robberies of American lore.
Yeah.
This recent heist, though, is a far more modern scenario, but one that could be straight out of a Hollywood action franchise, because over this past Easter weekend, thieves infiltrated a literal money storage facility out in Southern California's beautiful San Fernando Valley and stole $30 million and left without anyone knowing what happened until they came in on Monday and were like,
hey!
Oh, geez!
Something suspicious out here at our money storage facility. Who would do such a thing on Easter Sunday?
Oh my God. Yeah, Jesus pulled that rock aside, and these thieves, they pulled that vault aside.
Yep, they emerged.
He has risen. His amount of money has risen.
His amount of charisma has gone up.
He has rizzed. And yeah, of course, there are enough unanswered questions here that would make anyone wonder whether or not these thieves, like the thieves in the other one, maybe had some help from the inside.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense if this just happened.
Yeah.
If there was a completely unrelated party that came and did this and had no involvement whatsoever from anyone with any direct connections with where the money was being kept. I don't know.
And how much of it was being kept there.
Anyway, here's the LA Times with more.
The burglary occurred Sunday night at a facility in Sylmar where cash from businesses across the region is handled and stored, said LA Police Department Commander Elaine Morales. The thieves were able to breach the building as well as the safe where the money was stored, Morales says. Law enforcement sources said the burglary was among the largest in city history when it comes to cash, and the total also surpassed any armored car heist in the city. Mystery surrounds the break-in. Sources familiar with the investigation told the Times that a burglary crew broke through the roof of the Garda World building on Roxford Street to gain access to the vault, but it is unclear how they avoided the alarm system. The operators of the business did not discover the massive theft until they opened the vault Monday. An ABC 7 TV news helicopter showed a large cut on the side of the building covered by a piece of plywood.
Yeah. So there's a lot happening here. Like, they came in through the roof.
Because they failed getting in the side, I guess?
Or they left through the side.
Either way, like, a whole lot of commotion happening.
And I presumably sort of coming down like Ethan Hunt in the yes. first Mission Impossible movie.
Of course. And like in every other movie, had a thing that was cutting the...
Yeah, very sexily sliding under the lasers like Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I can assure you there were probably no lasers.
No, I've seen a lot of movies, and these vaults, they got lasers pointed at
them. They brought in that spray that does the clouds so you can see the lasers, but just like...
And then breaking into the vault, like in the classic Michael Mann film, Thief, like that's hard work. These vaults,
you gotta put
very
a drill
thick.
On it, and the drill just does its thing while you and your boys...
Yeah, there's fucking sparks flying everywhere.
You're guarding it, one of you gets off the mic to go get a soda, you get back on, it's payout, baby.
Like, buddy, how the fuck does this... Garda World facility, like, my house has a simple, like, $20, just like, not even a camera, a fucking motion detector. How do they not have that in this place where they're storing tens of millions of dollars?
Also, in Hollywood fashion, the person arrived Monday, opened up the vault, as you do, I guess, and only then saw that, oh, my stars. We have been robbed.
Yeah, real. I'm picturing like a Don Knotts type character. Boo!
And I wouldn't be surprised if it comes out that there was like a cheeky note left there. Like, You have been visited by the mob squad.
You would hope. I mean, it sounds like they had plenty of time to...
They were sitting there just enjoying themselves.
Yeah. So, yeah, these crooks, these thieves, heroes, perhaps? Who's to say? Probably not.
Are they giving it out to the community? We haven't seen that yet.
But they, in Hollywood fashion, they broke through the roof of a secure building, broke into a vault, stole millions of dollars, and left without a trace. And this break-in was only discovered after employees returned to work after a nice holiday weekend. Okay.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to guard the vault on Easter. What are you, insane? Resurgence Day.
Like, I feel like people have been really wasting their energies, like, walking into banks and trying to rob them. And in every case, these days, walking away with, like, I don't know, $5,000 because banks just don't have that much cash on them.
Yeah.
And you got all these cameras on you. People are seeing you. It's daylight. It almost never works. They should have been directing their energies into what these guys did.
Yeah, presumably this seems so simple that they would just realize there was a Fort Knox in the valley and were like, well, why aren't we hitting that?
I would have never guessed that there's just buildings that have that much money in them. Yeah. Anyway, the reporting continues. Further adding to the intrigue is that very few individuals would have known of the huge sums of cash being kept in that safe, according to law enforcement sources. The break-in was described as elaborate and suggested an experienced crew who knew how to gain entry to a secure facility and go unnoticed. Scott Andrew Selby, co-author of Flawless, Inside the Largest Diamond Heist in History, I'm going to add that to my reading list. said that the theft has all the markings of a really well-thought-out job and was done by a professional crew. Adding that, based on other major heists of this nature, it is likely that the thieves had some inside intelligence.
Yep.
There you go. He said investigators will be looking around the globe for crimes with a similar MO.
Oh, they are absolutely alerting Interpol to all of this. And I know a group of guys and gals with incredibly fast muscle cars who are just aching for one last ride.
That's right.
Unless it was Dominic Toretto himself.
He has been known to operate on either side of the thin blue line.
Yeah, his crew of drivers could have pulled off this heist. But only if there was an epic chase afterwards, which there wasn't. So you would assume if it was the Fast and Furious crew, they would have waited around until the authorities were alerted so that they could exit in epic fashion.
I imagine these guys escaped in something nondescript. A Ford Escort, perhaps.
A Tercel.
Yeah. a sensible Toyota
Camry. No, it was
Baby
Driver. And it's actually old what's-his-name, the canceled guy behind all this.
Kevin Spacey.
That's right.
He's back at it again.
Next Christmas, he's going to have a mug that has the logo of Garda World on it.
Oh, hello there. Bum, bum, bum.
But jokes aside, this is an absolutely absurd burglary that we thought only happened in the movies.
Well, it's Hollywood, baby.
In fact, as the article points out, there hasn't been a heist like this since all the way back in 1997, when thieves stole around $19 million after successfully infiltrating an armored facility downtown.
Downtown, there's a lot of variables there. Sylmar is a...
Nothing going on, especially on a Sunday on Easter.
Yeah, I have some family up there. It's a very... There's not really anything going on in fucking Sylmar.
Yeah.
And I assume any escape route is...
Wide open.
Not going to be any trouble.
Conveniently, Juvenile Hall is right there, so...
Is it?
Yeah. I thought
that's depressing.
I didn't know that was a real... Like, that's what they called...
Yeah.
A youth detention center?
Yeah.
Because I only thought that was like in the movies. It was made up.
Or like something they called it back in the 50s.
Yeah. And then I saw the sign
Juvenile
on the freeway.
Juvenile Hall. Well, we're going to try to make an upstanding citizen out of you troublemakers.
When I saw the sign, I was like, wow, they really called it that. Huh.
Well, anyways. Check if there's any posters of hot ladies in any of those
cells.
They're
take it down. It'll be a hole in
see
the
if
wall.
There's a hole there with $30 million in it.
But let's move on to some other stories, including an update regarding that lawsuit between the George Carlin Estate and the Dudesy AI podcast, who produced the one-hour George Carlin special, despite the comedian dying well over 15 years ago. A settlement has been reached, and the video has obviously been removed from the channel, and it will be removed from any other channel that attempts to re-upload it. Their podcast has also been barred from ever using Carlin's image, voice, or likeness going forward on any platform, and they even went back and removed any reference to George Carlin at all.
Keep his name, voice, and face out of your goddamn show.
Or the estate will slap you in the face.
Yeah, good for them. Here's Variety with more on this, but before we get into their reporting, we should remind everyone that at one point the hosts claimed that it wasn't actually AI that wrote the script, it was them, which, I don't know, we're not sure if that makes it better or worse. Just letting you know, because Variety is reporting references still as AI generated. The audio clearly is.
Oh, no, yeah, they used it to create the audio,
and
but as far as
imagery,
the writing, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are definitely multiple elements that are absolutely AI generated, but the script, that was what people were like, wow, the AI is so good at writing jokes, and then it's like, okay, but did the AI actually write the jokes?
No.
They're saying it didn't.
Yeah. But they could be lying too.
Here you go. George Carlin's estate has settled a lawsuit over an AI-generated imitation of the late comedian, with the creators agreeing to remove it from their YouTube channel and podcast feed. In January, the Dudesy podcast released George Carlin, I'm Glad I'm Dead, which purported to be an hour-long special created by artificial intelligence. Carlin died in 2008, but the special featured a sound-alike voice doing Carlin-esque material on contemporary topics like trans rights and defunding the police. The Dudesy podcast is hosted by Will Sasso and Chad Kultgen. Within a week of the lawsuit, they notified the estate that they had removed the video from their YouTube channel, along with any mention of Carlin from their podcast and social media accounts. Under the settlement, they agreed to a permanent injunction that bars them from uploading the video again or from using Carlin's image, voice, or likeness in any platform.
In a statement on Tuesday, Carlin's daughter said she was gratified to have the situation over with. I am pleased that this matter was resolved quickly and amicably. And I am grateful that the defendants acted responsibly by swiftly removing the video they made, she said. While it is a shame that this happened at all, I hope this case serves as a warning about the dangers posed by AI technologies and the need for appropriate safeguards, not just for artists and creatives, but every human on Earth. In a statement, the estate attorney, Joshua Schiller, said that the lawsuit was intended to preserve Carlin's legacy and shine a light on the threat that emerging technologies pose to intellectual property. Quote, this settlement is a great outcome for our clients and will serve as a blueprint for resolving similar disputes going forward where an artist or public figure has their rights infringed by AI technology, he said. This is not a problem that will go away by itself. It must be confronted with swift, forceful action in the courts, and the AI software companies whose technology is being weaponized must also bear some measure of accountability.
So while we're briefly on the topic of tech, though, we missed this one on yesterday's episode, but for those of you who are still on Twitter, you may have noticed that a bunch of influential people are, once again, rocking that blue check mark.
Yeah.
You know, the one that used to mean you were important or relevant in some way, but now means you pay $8 to $20 a month.
You're just a verified piece of shit.
Which leads one to wonder, why are these folks verified? Mm-hmm. Did they finally cave? They missed that check mark too much? They swiped that credit card? I mean, I thought they were opposed to giving Elon Musk any money at all. Did something change? Mm. Well, yes and no. These influential people aren't giving Elon any money. But the policy on verification has changed once again, further fulfilling the prophecy foretold by Sean Vids once again, which claimed that Elon would eventually revert every change upon figuring out why those old rules were there in the first place.
Yep.
People with high follower counts and engagement have been given their blue checks back. For free, further muddying the waters of who to trust on the website, while also devaluing the verification for those who are paying for something that others get for free.
Elon, over the course of almost 12 months, I've technically given you over $100. Elon! And they get it for free?
Elon!
You gave it back to the liberals? Elon! Meanwhile, the right wing on Twitter having their own wonderful day as Ian Miles Chong has proven once again that he is probably as stupid as Kyle Rittenhouse.
He doesn't understand PEMDAS. Come on, man.
Woo!
These people these people want to control education.
Woo! Okay, so in a post, Elon said that, quote, going forward, all X accounts with over 2,500 verified subscriber followers will get premium features for free, and accounts with over 5,000 will get premium plus for free.
A side note, someone like did the math and figured out that second part, premium plus for free, only like 4 people on the entire platform qualify for that, and one of which is Elon, so yeah. Only 3 people.
Well, it's worded weird. It's like, yeah, it's if you have that many people who pay following you, then it counts. It's not. It's just worded odd.
We have followers and subscribers now, and that's 2 different things.
Yeah, so one of the recipients of Elon's badge of honor, Ellie Schnitt, posted the notification that she received regarding the upgrade, and yes, It is written as poorly and confusingly as Elon's own statement. As an influential member of the community on X, we've given you a complimentary subscription to X Premium, subject to X Premium terms by selecting this notice. X reserves the right to cancel the complimentary subscription in its sole discretion. Visit Premium in your navigation drawer to view your premium features. And Ellie added the following to the screenshot, which sums up many other users' reactions to their verification being reinstated. Oh my God, they gave me a blue checkmark for being influential on Twitter. They have simply reinvented the original blue check. I'm laughing so hard.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this feature is not a win for anyone receiving it.
No. Nope.
It's now just a badge of shame that makes people assume they are giving Elon money.
Yeah.
And that's probably his goal.
I mean, this is a redux of the situation that happened, I think, a year and a half ago at this point, where they took away the blue checks, and then none of the original celebs actually wanted the new version, so Elon just gave it to them.
Yeah.
Without
their
permission, and they were like, please, it's like Stephen King, just like, I didn't pay for this, stop, take it away. But hey, who wants some really good news?
Mm.
And it's good news related to the godforsaken entertainment industry when it needs it the most. Someone over at Warner Brothers still has a good head on their shoulders. I know, shock.
Crazy.
Because HBO has just greenlit a new series written by and starring Tim Robinson of I Think You Should Leave fame.
Yeah.
We honestly don't care what this is, because at this point, we will be watching anything that Tim Robinson produces.
Protect this man at all costs.
But here's some more details on this project from Deadline. HBO has given the green light to The Chair Company, okay, I'm listening, a half-hour comedy pilot starring Tim Robinson. In The Chair Company, written and executive produced by Robinson and Zach Kanin, after an embarrassing incident at work, a man, Robinson, finds himself investigating a far-reaching conspiracy. This marks the latest collaboration for Robinson and Kanin, who met while working together as writers on Saturday Night Live. They previously co-created two series in which Robinson also starred, Detroiters for Comedy Central and sketch comedy I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson for Netflix. And yes, Detroiters is, in my opinion, maybe the most underappreciated sitcom of the last, like, decade at least. And it's on Paramount Plus, so it's a pain in the ass
you
to fucking watch.
You can't even watch it. I've only ever seen the clips from it. I think at this point I've probably seen many episodes
because of the clips. I hope Sam Richardson, his co-star in Detroiters, is involved in this new show, because he's another just extremely funny person.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm just as shocked as you are. HBO, turns out they can still make good decisions from time to time. And hopefully this one won't get produced and then shelved for tax purposes, because I would, if that were to happen, I would start behaving like a Tim Robinson character in I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
I'd be acting irrationally, I'd be loud, I would be just causing destruction and discomfort for those around me if this were to come to pass. So please, HBO, do the right thing.
And finally today, we have yet another perfectly American story. It's got all the ingredients necessary to perpetuate our mockery across the world. Guns, car culture, fast food, and disgruntled customers.
Ain't that America?
Land of the free! I want my burger, and I don't want it cheap!
No. Give me the most expensive burger you have.
Should've gone to Five Guys instead. A customer at a drive-thru in Ohio pulled a gun on an employee after the employee attempted to give him a discount on his breakfast because the store was running a promotion. Yes, you heard that correctly. The customer pulled a gun on an employee for trying to save him money.
I don't understand.
Well, I'm proud to be an American.
Well, at least I know I'm free.
Well, at least I know I'm free, but the breakfast isn't. And
no.
If you try to give me a discount on that breakfast, it is going to make me feel like less of a man, and I'm going to come back.
Don't even come near me with one of those woke discounts.
That's, yeah, for liberals only.
Trying to do DEI.
I pay my taxes, the burger tax.
I work hard for my burgers. I don't need no handout.
So yes, God bless the USA, and here's a perfectly named outlet and their coverage of the story. From USA Today, police in Northeast Ohio are asking the public for help locating a Burger King customer caught on camera pointing a gun at a drive-thru employee after the worker tried to give the man a discount. In images released by police in Willowick, a city located along Lake Erie, the suspect is seen standing outside a black vehicle beside another white car at the drive-thru window, pointing a firearm at the employee inside. Here's what the employee said took place during the surprising incident.
The employee, Howard Vernon, told WOIO-TV, Woyo, he was taking the customer's order. Two sausage, egg, and cheese croissants, a sausage biscuit, and hash browns. That's like 3,000 calories, which totaled about $8. I mean, that's a great deal. He was like, my order can't be right. It should be $11. And I'm like trying to explain to him that we had a promotion going on and like it's cheaper. And he started cussing and getting all loud. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why you want to pay more money. Vernon told the outlet. The customer sped away from the scene, but images captured on surveillance video at the business show he returned a short time later, what? And pulled alongside another car parked outside the drive-thru window. Images show he then got out of the car and pointed a gun in the direction of the window and the employee. I was thinking that maybe the story would provide more context with this.
No.
What? He left and came back?
Yeah. Imagine getting so red-assed about a discounted breakfast that you leave. You leave the scene. You maintain a level of anger for several minutes, and then you return with a gun to intimidate an employee.
The only explanation I can come up with, this is a reach.
Okay.
But perhaps this person has some form of obsessive compulsive disorder. And
every day I come here and get the exact same meal.
Yeah, that and the number 11 is a prime number, whereas the number 9 is not a prime number. It is a dirty number that you
eight, can... 8, 8,
8. Oh, it's 8. Well, that's not prime either. You can divide that by 2. You can divide that by 4. No, 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 no.
I was going to say 11. If it was 9, this would have been this guy's personal 9-11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all I can come up with is this person is very distressed by not being able to pay a prime number for his breakfast.
My take on it is that he felt emasculated by not being able to pay full price. Oh, what do you think? I don't have the money to pay full price?
I'm no welfare queen.
That's the only thing I can imagine. But then leaving and still like steaming mad about it minutes later.
Yeah, and hungry too.
Yeah.
He didn't get his 3,000 calorie breakfast.
For $8. What a steal. Buy extra for tomorrow.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that he knew that it was the exact price, he knew the original price, shows that he goes there obsessively and gets the same thing. Well, which look, we're all creatures of habit, but it is a bit
strange. I don't think I've ever had Burger King breakfast, weirdly enough.
It's like, you know, I go to a coffee shop, every once in a blue moon, they'll give me a slight discount, and I don't threaten the barista.
Yeah.
Hey, no, I could pay full price.
A lot of them have points.
Yeah.
No. I reject my points.
Sir, you've earned 10,000 king crowns. You want to cash those in?
Absolutely.
I will fucking kill you.
Do you want to die right now?
Anyways, that's the end of this week's News Dump. We'll be back for more Weekly Weird News. But as you saw, no sponsor. You're the sponsor. If you want to support this show and get those cool little metal hands and get your comments elevated down below.
It's a great deal. It's even better deal than an $8 Burger King
breakfast.
Right.
For $5 a month, you get seemingly endless amounts of content, hours even.
Yeah.
So click the join button if you're feeling frisky. Otherwise, it's always free to click the like button, and you know we love it when you smash that like button.
Mm.
Helps us grow. Leave a comment. Talk about what you would do for a discount down below. What would you do for a Klondike bar? Anything.
I can't say on this show or I'll get canceled.
All right, and if you haven't seen it already, we got two videos popping up here. We got a recent tech news day about Elon tanking the value of many companies, and also an episode about, turns out Truth Social, probably not worth what everyone thinks it's worth.
No.
It's actually worth essentially nothing. So watch both of those. We'll be back with Weekly Weird News, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.